I am Pierre Lumumba here at Kesia Swara Lodge in Athi River in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya. Today we talk about this elusive subject of African unity. It is a subject that has attracted many intellectuals in discourses of diverse kinds. There are Afro-optimists and Afro-pessimists. The Afro-pessimists hold the view that those who talk about African unity are simply people who are romanticizing about Africa. Africa has never been united. Africa, before the advent of colonization, had over 3,000 kingdoms which were contesting for space, and they say that the whole talk about unity is a mirage and a chimera which can never be realized. Then there are the Afro-optimists, and I'm one of them, who hold the view that after the colonization process and after the partitioning of Africa, there is wisdom in uniting Africa for the purpose of making her realize her potential politically, economically, and socially. And when Afro-optimists talk about African unity, they are not being naive or simplistic. They are not saying that we'll have the unity of the graveyard where there is no quarrel and no contestation. No, that is not in the nature of human affairs. They are simply saying that having found ourselves in this space as a continent, where the continent was partitioned and divided into 54 countries, and in this day and age, there is wisdom in greater collaboration. And that collaboration is necessary to ensure that Africa becomes strong and becomes capable of relating with the rest of the world from a standpoint of strength. Indeed, when in 1945, during the 5th Pan-African Congress, the leaders met there, some from the Caribbean and some from the continent of Africa, the clarion call is that the acquisition of independence should also be a catalyst for unity. When Kwame Nkrumah, for example, came out of that meeting, and a few years later, in 1957, on the 6th day of March, Ghana regained our independence. In his speech, he said, the independence of Ghana means nothing until and unless the rest of Africa is free. That was the clarion call. And he started his movement. He went to a meeting in Casablanca, Morocco in 1961. And even prior to that, in 1958 in Accra, Ghana, he had said that we need to unite so that we can be in a position to resist the powers that want to use our disunity for the purpose of benefiting themselves. Indeed, it is in that spirit that Africa met in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, under the aegis of the OAU, which was then to be formed with Haile Selassie as the host. But it is important to note that even in those early days, the very same European powers that had colonized Africa were already trying to ensure that Africa did not unite. And what did they do? They created groups, and this led to the emergence of two groups in Africa at that time. The Casablanca group, which said, we want independence now, independence and unity now. And the Monrovia group, which said, no, we cannot unite, let us move slowly. And therefore, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, when there was that meeting, there was those who represented the Casablanca group who wanted to say unity now, and the Monrovia group which was lukewarm about it. It has been said, and I agree, that the organization of African unity was in itself as a result of the success of the Monrovia Group, because it became a loose organization, not the organization that Kwame Nkrumah and others had said should happen. And when he spoke in May, Kwame Nkrumah was clear. He told his audience, if we come out of this place without a United States of Africa, if we come out of here without a united army of Africa, if we come out of here without a single currency, if we come out of here without a work plan toward the unification of Africa, in a few years, it is going to be impossible to unite Africa. That is the spirit with which he spoke, but ultimately others said, Nkrumah simply wants to be the president of Africa. Nkrumah is overambitious. Nkrumah is idealistic. And ultimately, another meeting was held in 1964 in Cairo, which of course did not yield much. Another meeting was then held in 1965 in Accra. People don't talk about it, but at that meeting in Accra, it was assumed that that was the time when there would be a resolution that Africa would be united. It is Tanzania's Mwalimu Nyerere that has spoken about it, and he spoke about it in 1997 when Ghana was celebrating our 40th anniversary. He said, I remember one African leader saying after that meeting that I'm happy that it did not happen, because they had become so used to their position that they did not want a united Africa. But it is important also to note that outside of the African Union, or outside of the Organization of African Unity, which the African Union succeeded, there were earlier attempts at unity, even if they were small. Let us retrace our steps and go back to the period just before independence. When Kenya and Uganda were poised for independence and Tanzania was becoming independent, Mwalimu Nyerere of Tanzania said, I want to postpone our independence so that Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania can become independent as one country. That was a proposal. But at that time, all the other leaders, the leaders led by Jomo Kenyatta of Kenya and Apollo Milton Obote of Uganda, did not accept. And ultimately, the countries became independent separately, entered into the East African Community, which broke, of course, in 1977 and was reignited again in the 1990s. But you could see the appetite for unity was there, even if for a small way. It is in that spirit, actually, that Tanzania or Tanganyika later entered into a union with Zanzibar to create what is Tanzania. You can see that there were visionary leaders who could see the advantage of unity. There was also an attempt at unity between Mali and Ghana at that time, at the instigation and under the aegis of the articulation that had been put together by Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah and Modibo Keita, so that there could be Mali and Ghana as a single country. That too did not go very far. We also saw a later attempt, the combination of Senegal and Gambia to create a country called Senegambia. That also did not go very far. What one is saying is that there have been attempts at unifying Africa, but the grand unification agenda has been elusive. Although we know that there have been attempts even continentally, the continental attempts at greater unity have been through the creation of institutions. We know, for example, the creation of the Pan-African Parliament, which sits in South Africa. It does not have teeth, but it is a statement that the closer we work together, the safer we are. And there have been a number of initiatives which are designed to bring Africa close together. Take, for example, the African airspace. In 1988, in Yamoussoukro, in La Côte d'Ivoire, African countries met and said, we want to make the African airspace a single airspace. All these are born out of this desire to have a united Africa. There are those who have gone beyond Yamoussoukro. We have seen the attempt at ensuring that there is free movement of persons. The Kigali Protocol, which says that we should eliminate passports and have a single African passport so that these borders do not exist. In addition to that, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, which is designed to remove tariff and non-tariff barriers. All these are statements that are telling us that Africa is hungry and has an appetite for unity. And this unity is seen as one of the ways in which Africa will then realize our potential. There has also been an attempt to talk about African single currency. And there have been attempts, of course, regionally in West Africa to create the ECO, which would be the currency in that part of the world, an attempt to make the shilling a currency in the East African region in that regard. And these initiatives are ongoing. We ourselves, in order to ensure that this happens, I can speak for myself that in the last 10 years under the aegis of our Pierre Lumumba Foundation, we've been working with a view to ensuring that this comes about. It is not an easy thing, but we are animating a group of young men and women. And the beauty of it is that through that initiative, we are now present in over 40 African countries. And the message is one and clear. The message is that as long as African countries do not work in unison, then they are not going to realize their potential. And working in unison means a number of things. Number one, even in mobile telephony, why should we have, you go to Tanzania, you have code 255, you come to Kenya, code 254, you go to Ethiopia, code 251, you go to Uganda, code 256, you go to different countries, and this in itself makes life very difficult because mobile telephony is not unified. You go to different countries, I move from Uganda and I go to Rwanda, I now have a different currency. I go to Ethiopia, there is Birr. I go to Angola, there is Kwanza. I go to Ghana, there is Cedi. I go to Nigeria, there is Naira. I go to Mozambique, there is Matical. Why should we have all these? The whole idea is that a unified Africa, and that unity is one that should be understood in context. A unified Africa is good for the African citizen because, number one, it will enable trade to happen a lot more easily. A unified Africa will ensure that the conflicts are reduced. A unified Africa will ensure that resources are directed toward things that will change the quality of African life. A unified Africa will have a stronger voice. A unified Africa will be respected in the world. Is it not lost on Africans that a whole continent of 1.4 billion does not even have a permanent seat in the United Nations, and that their votes don't matter, can be neutralized by the permanent members? So when we talk about unity of Africa, it means that each one of us, each one of our organizations that we have created must move beyond mere rhetoric. And we are not saying that this is going to happen with this generation. The struggle to ensure that Africa is unified is an intergenerational struggle and is not a mere slogan. It is not a mirage like Afro-pessimists wants us to say. It is an achievable goal which we Afro-optimists hold the view ought to be pursued with vigor in the knowledge that unity and unity of purpose is what is going to catapult the continent of Africa into an orbit where she can collaborate and work with the rest of the world with a position of strength. African unity requires, among other things, that existing African institutions are energized and properly funded. It is not lost on me that organizations such as the African Union are still funded by powers outside of the continent of Africa. financed by Europe, financed by America, financed by the Chinese, financed by the Japanese. How can you be financed by others and yet you think you can't be strong? The time is now for Africa to be in charge of our affairs through unity of purpose. Thank you very much as we continue this very interesting conversation about the Mother Continent. We must, of course, take a break and say goodbyes, but in the knowledge that we'll come back again to continue this very interesting conversation.